Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy! They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine and More.
Blog Talk Radio.
Contra Radio Network. Preparedness Radio. With your host, John Jeffers.
And good evening, John Jeffers here at the Contra Radio Network. Another exciting educational training episode for us. All right. If you want to follow us on the live video feed, you can. We're on the Contra Radio Network group page. Dawn is there. Brian, also known as Porky Wheel, has joined us. Welcome. Glad you're here. One of the things I want to chat with, you know, I wasn't sure we were going to do tonight, and then Terry posted something. He said, you know, we're going to learn a lot from this episode, this event with Hurricane Irma. It's like, yeah, okay, possibly. I thought about it. I said, you know what? Yeah, we can. And I can do a show about this, and I want to do that tonight. Mainly because this show follows episode 362, where all we did was follow along on one of the Zello channels, Zello.com channels, and just let it play. At some point in time, I got enough and aggravated at some of the calls I heard, and Dawn shushed me. I needed my safe space. She hurt my feelings. Also, if you want to post on during the episode, you can feel free to join on the live feed. And it's like, you know, it's some of, and I have to agree with Dawn. One of her comments was, you know, listen to the idiocy of humankind. to a degree, I absolutely agree with what she has to say there. And if you haven't, I urge you to listen to episode 362. Hope you'd listened to it already, and so you got an idea of what we're going to talk about, some of the things that we have heard, what was said, what was done. And I put out that episode because I wanted it to be a learning experience, a training experience for prepper group leaders or just preppers in general. Anyways, I think what we need to understand is, I'll tell you what, let's make it easy. I'll give you my takeaway on it. One of the things I noticed, and it's a general comment, some background information on the channel. The channel was set up on Zello to be a search and rescue channel. There were some incidents during the storm that required it. Now, granted, the people that were calling for assistance, I don't know. I'm gonna be telling. I don't know the whole background story on them. All I can get is the same thing you would get, and that is, what you hear is what you get. All right. The episode was taped, I think it was the night before, I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, if I remember right, it was like the night before the hurricane did strike. Numerous times, and I heard people asking for information that they could have gotten very easily by tuning in to their local news. The storm hadn't hit yet. They still had electricity. They still had power. And yet you keep hearing some of the questions, and I want you to know something. I'm going to reiterate it again. I did not and could not control what you heard. There were some very, what I would consider, inappropriate comments that really had no business being on there. However, that being said, you could see in a grid down situation or a disaster, a catastrophe approaching or happening, how people will react. Dawn's comment on the CRN group page is, leadership needs to be established quickly and efficiently. Individuals who are allowed to speak needed to understand it was not Facebook. And, that's an excellent point. Anyone who is being an idiot should have been muted or booted. Moderators should have blatantly repeated where to go for the basic. And they did. The next day when I was listening to it, they kept saying over and over again, finally, the moderator started booting people immediately. It was ridiculous. And you're absolutely right, Don. The analogy is absolutely correct in my mind. People thought it was Facebook. Where is the storm going to hit? You know what? They didn't know if they kept asking. I noticed that a lot of people didn't want to do any thinking for themselves. A lot of them wanted somebody, anybody, to tell them what to do. Including one individual who suggested that for clean drinking water to put 2 teaspoons of bleach to a gallon of water to sanitize it. One of the moderators, I believe it was Tansha or Larissa, immediately piped up and said, no, wrong. Use 6 drops. That's it. A lot of people who should have, you could tell which people can follow simple directions. There were, those on there who just didn't want to evacuate. Okay. And granted, was the storm as bad as it could have been? Absolutely not. I agree with that. The storm dawdled, especially the eye dawdled over Cuba. Not in the Straits, but over Cuba, and that's where the mountains in Cuba ripped the guts out of it. Maybe we owe the Cubans a little hand clap there. But my point is this. Many people did not want to follow simple directions. Listen to the episode. You will hear people asking the most inane question. It got so bad to the point I actually made a few comments. I just couldn't stand it anymore. And yes, there were children on there, and they were asking questions like, my grandmother lives in Naples. Do you think she'll be all right? It's like, really? Do these people have a magic 8-ball, crystal ball? Can they look and go, oh, no, she can't. Oh, you may rely on it. Ask again later. But those are the kind of questions they got, and not just from kids, but from adults as well. You would hear people talking about trying to get out at the last minute. And they would say, oh, we don't have, where can I get gas? The people, the moderators, the administrators running the channel, how in the hell are they supposed to know? Those are issues that needs to be, taken up by the individuals. Porky Will says he was listening for a few days after, and it showed there was no overall control either on the radio or on the ground, and some people didn't know where to get information. It seemed to be panicked somewhat. Yeah, but you know what? There are ways to get information out there. Julie, for example, lost power. And as far as I know, I think she still is out of power. You see, other people just didn't want to take any type of responsibility for themselves. They wanted other people to tell them what to do. And waiting till 8 hours or 16 hours before the storm hits and decide, maybe I should go. Gee, we're out of gas. or I don't have a hotel to go to. Well, that's what happens when you wait to the last second, so you wait to the last minute. Of course, the hotels will be booked. They were telling people to get out, you know, 3 and 4 days earlier, 96 hours prior. Where were you then? You know, and like Porky Will, I had listened during the storm, and again, it's like, people, figure this out. Think for yourselves. And then I realized, you know what? They can't. You can't ask somebody to do something that they're just not capable of. Those are the people you do not want in your prepper group. There it's said. Oh, we got a bunch of calls here. Let me get into them here. Let's get going here. All right. Terry.
Howdy. How are you guys doing today?
Terry, I understand you are back home and you have pneumonia. Is that correct?
Yeah, something's been developing in me. Everybody, yes, I am back in Missouri. And I've been developing this cough thing, you know. At first I thought it was like, have you ever been in a city at night without a hat on? And then the next day you kind of feel it, you know, like in the back of your throat or in your lungs.
You have the consumption.
I have a what?
The consumption,
baby.
All right. And we also
a
got
what?
On the line. We got area code 318. Go ahead.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hey,
how's
how are
going,
you?
How's it going, guys?
Yeah, we're talking
hey,
about
let
the.
Me, can I ask you? Can I ask you one thing about that Zello thing? Zello, whatever it's
mm-hmm.
called.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got it downloaded now. I'm not quite sure how it works 100%, but
yeah,
I was able to talk to Julie. I didn't hear anybody else talking. I don't know. That's what kind of threw me because I thought it was supposed to be an open thing where you hear other people talk, and I didn't. I don't know
well,
if I'm on it right or if I'm doing something wrong. Or
it depends on what channel you were on. The channel we're talking about was South Florida Hurricane Irma 2017. That was the name of the channel.
Oh, see, I didn't know you could do that. Okay.
Yeah, you sure could.
Okay. I had just downloaded it, so I wasn't sure. So.
That's okay. You know, we learn by doing. Area code 503, go ahead.
Howdy, John. This is Jason.
Jason, how are you, my friend?
Good. I'm way out in the garage. I don't know if the reception's any good.
No, it's pretty good. Jason, did you listen to episode 362?
The live stream?
Yeah.
I listened to about 10 minutes of that. Just about died laughing from the idiots and then had to go.
What was your impression?
It just confirms that, I don't know, people are so clueless. That it just boggles your mind how they can breathe sometimes, you know? These people are out driving and shopping. They're all around us. It's just unbelievable.
I'll tell you what got me is, you know, Florida said to evacuate.
Yep.
And if you stay, we can't come and get you. But the first thing people have stayed and somebody come get them because they didn't have any food and water. It's like,
what did you think was going to happen, people? And I agree with what Jason
exactly.
said.
Exactly.
I agree with what he said. You know, you just, it's like, what is, where have you people been? Under a rock the last 4 days?
Well, no. The comment's like, I have a generator. I've never used it.
Oh, yeah.
Do
we
put it outside or inside? I've never used it.
You know, you say that, but there was a family that was killed because the generator fumes were going in the house with them.
Oh,
no,
yeah, people
you know,
barbecue in their garage and die all the time.
I know.
Yeah.
And I got so frustrated, I think you can hear me muttering something along the lines of, no, you need to run it inside.
Like, that, dear God, please do us all a favor. No,
I agree.
They
yeah,
don't have food.
Different.
They don't have water. Everybody's dependent on bottled water, which is crazy. Why don't you store your own bottles? Why don't you put the milk jugs full of water? Why don't you get a bob? Why don't you just take a pitcher and fill it?
No, there were many, many people like that.
but there's no thought. People have forgotten how to think. The TV has dumbed them down so bad. They watch Oprah and daytime whatever talk shows and crap.
No, I want to. Lopeard Galoot is on here, and he's right. Remove the warning labels on the generators, because obviously you don't have a clue and should not be allowed to own one, much less run one. If you're asking, can I run it inside? Yeah. But that's part of it. You know, you listen to episode 362, and you're right. There are people out there who don't have a clue. Again, you know, I've never run the generator. Well, why don't you try it? You know, it's like when you get your prepping food, your dehydrated food and your canned food, whatever, you've never had it, try it. Make sure you're going to eat it. Make sure you like it. Make sure it works and you know how it works. You know, it's the little details, and you hear people on the channel just oblivious. I'm surprised, and the worst part is they allow these people to vote. They allow them to have kids. They allow them to procreate.
Yeah. Well, you know, if they had a headache, they would ask you what they need to take. So
I was just like, oh, are you kidding me? Why are you, you know? And then there's the one woman who stuck around, a single mom with five kids. And if you listen to the next day, I don't know what her case is or was, but I'm thinking, you know what? You're a single mom with five kids? Find a way out of there. They had bus service. You know, you know what? I think the state of Florida did a pretty damn good job of not only getting the word out, but they said, if you need a ride, call us. We will come get you. What more do you want? We will take you to a shelter.
Hey, I have some observations that I'd like to note out about some things like this. Can you hear me?
Are you going to make us wait or what?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, okay. Well, I didn't know if you guys are going to hear me or not. Anyways, I've noticed some things about during my trip here to Louisiana and Texas. Now, there's a lot. Before, I would say a lot of things just like y'all, like, what the hell is wrong with you people? Why can't you figure these things out? How come you're not ready? I am now in the mindset that there's a lot of people, and it doesn't matter your income level, your education level, the state you live in, or the kind of place that you live in. It doesn't matter, because I've seen people that have a lot of money, and some people that have no money, and it has nothing to do with it. High education, no education, doesn't matter, because when it comes down to it, our society is simply not training our people to think like they need to be a prepper, like they need to take care of themselves, because there's a friend of mine who bought a generator, but he bought it after the hurricane, after the power cut back on. But he learned a lesson from that.
Okay.
And then I asked him, how are you gonna, you know, keep the gas for the generator? And a lot of people are not learning the lessons or thinking it all the way through. And that doesn't mean that he's a dummy. It's just that a lot of people are not in a proper mindset to be self-sufficient and think about the big picture instead of what has always been there for us. The electricity, the computers, the grocery store, the gas station, the police department, the fire department, the government, okay? So, you know, I mean, look at Gary Moll, okay? Gary does not have a PhD.
Doesn't? No, he doesn't.
Okay? He is not a Nobel Prize laureate. But I'm going to tell you what, Gary Moll will be a survivor, and he's smart in many ways. He teaches his children to think about things differently than a lot of other people do. A lot of other people think about, what are you going to look like when you go downtown? But if you're one of my boys, you're going to, my boys is going to think about security when you go downtown.
All right.
Because there's bad people. Right? I mean, this ain't, you know, it's a mindset of people. We're not, as a society, we are not being trained care of ourselves. We want other people to take care of us.
Okay. You know, one thing that Lopaird said, and that's why I was kind of giggling, it says somewhere along the way, we stopped letting nature take its course. Now we put the weakest in charge. I blame beer. I blame a lot more than beer. You know, and Lopaird's right. And he's tapping on exactly the same thing he said, Terry. And that was this, seriously. You know, that is, you know, we have let people go to the point that they become dependent upon the government to tell them what to do. They don't tell them what to do, they don't want to do it. Okay, fine.
Try to start.
You know, I don't, no, and Lopaird says, I can't give away 55-gallon drums. Nobody prep. Now, I want to address Dawn's, if you remember, if you listen to episode 362, everybody was losing their minds about a dog being abandoned by the owners, left in the mobile home. The owners took off for a shelter or whatever. And this went on for a good half hour, I'm guessing, if I remember right. And you sit there and you're thinking, okay, I'm already pissed off because the owners left their dog there. You know, and it's like, how irresponsible can we get? I know Dawn and I were, you know, raging about it. We were pissed about it. And then you had, you know, people coming on. You had one guy coming on. I'm going to go to the trailer and I'm going to shoot the dog, put him out of its misery. It's like, really, you know, this is the kind of crap you prepper leaders, people who are preppers, who have radios, you're going to hear. Now, one of the best things I could tell you to do in a situation like that, do not transmit. Just listen. Listen. You'd be surprised what you hear if you just listen, as opposed to sitting there just waiting to say something. You know what I'm, you know where I'm going with it? So if you go ahead and you listen to it, they'll pick up a bunch of different stuff. And that's why, first of all, I didn't take any calls on that episode. I just wanted us all to get an idea of what we're thinking, what we're looking at, what could possibly happen. Now, Porky Wheel, he says, hey, welcome to my world. His communities all think like that. And that is nobody preps. And you're right, Tim. Tim in North Carolina is right. He says the best comment on the dog thing was the dog is probably worth more than most of the people out there. I can't disagree with that. I really can't. But I'll say, if you listen to the episode, we got more callers. Hold on. Let me get to you. All right. Area code 253. Go ahead.
Hey. I wanted to just kind of put something out there when he was talking about the fact that PhDs are not the smartest in the bunch when it comes to survival versus. Do you guys know the story about the 18-wheelers stuck under the bridge?
I'll play.
The
is that to let the air out of the tires?
Yeah, you let the air out of the tires.
But the thing is, prior to the little boy saying that, you had the DOT show up and they're talking about how they're going to have to restructure the bridge to get this thing out.
Uh-huh.
Prior to that, you had the state patrol show up saying that they're going to have to go ahead and use the jaws of life on it. I mean, all these people who are supposed to know what they're supposed to do because they're supposed to be educated came up with all these radical, extreme, many of them hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage type stuff to do, And it was a little boy standing there eating his ice cream cone that said, "Let the air out of the tires." Fact of the matter is, you are correct. 99% of these individuals who think, and I do mean 99% of these individuals who think that they are ready and prepped and locked and loaded, the moment you give them a 12-hour shift with no electricity or internet or anything else, they go nuts.
Oh, yeah.
They can't handle it.
You know,
I
have said this, and if you listen to this show, you know I've said it. Electricity is the thin veneer of our civilization. Exactly what mm-hmm. Dawn said. When it goes, people lose their minds. They don't know what to do. How do I live?
Can I say something?
Do you want to say something?
Yeah, going back to the dog thing,
oh.
I would make a big deal about it because I hear they taste just like chicken.
Actually, no, dogs don't taste like chicken.
All right, that bomb.
Dogs don't taste like chicken. Dog actually kind of tastes like a sweet beef.
That's cool. I'm part mm-hmm. Asian. Sweet meat is what we're all about.
So, but we had an ice storm here about 10 years ago. I was pregnant with my youngest. And this ice storm was so bad that for 3 weeks out here in Spanaway. Now, we're right here in Washington State. We were without power completely. One thing I've always looked for in every house that I've ever rented or owned has always been a fireplace. Mandatory. I don't care if I never have to fire that thing up. Mandatory to have a fireplace in my house. We survived in a 3-story. It was a split story, so it was actually, 2-story, but it was basically a 3 because of how the stairs were. We survived for 3 weeks in a 3-story with no power. We had neighbors going insane. They could not handle it. We were not using a generator. We didn't need one, really. I was able to cook everything I needed to in that fireplace. I was able to heat enough of the living room so we could all sleep in sleeping bags. Remember, I'm pregnant, by the way, in that fireplace. We did have transportation out to go get food out of the area. But even then, there was limited access to stores and everything because in our central area, I'd had to go outside of Spanaway to get food. Make a long story short, we were able to survive with minimal needs. And I'm literally watching neighbors falling apart. We had some come knocking on our door begging for us to take care of their kids because they knew that they just couldn't do it. And I'm looking at them saying, people, it's not like it's a nuclear war. Number one, it's going to end. And number two, it's really not that bad. And I had to show them what to do.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is, with all these fancy prepping, I went through after Ladies of the Watch had a show on what you really need for prepping. And Julie and I was one of the last shows I did with her. And I started thinking about it. And, John, I went through my prepping material and my prepping kits, and I literally got rid of 2/3 of my stuff because I realized exactly what she was saying. 2/3 of what we've been told we need, either I don't know how to efficiently use, I haven't been properly trained on, like, for instance, some of the medical kits that we had. The reason to have it, you can have something else that could substitute for it.
Yeah.
So you didn't need 15 different things. One thing would work for 15 different things.
Okay.
Or, and this is the biggest one for me, seriously, do you really have to carry a knife that has 17 different blades on it when, in fact, you're really probably only going to need 2 knives, one with a big heavy blade and one with a thin sharp one? So we went through, we literally cleaned house where our bug out bags now like 10 pounds each.
Yeah, your multi-tool should be on your hip, not on your bag.
Well, still, what I'm saying is that
it should be on you every 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's my personal opinion.
Right, and that's what I'm saying is that we had a wake-up call because we thought we were so educated. I personally thought I was really educated because part of my religion and part of my culture is very, very native, very, not survival, I wouldn't say that, but nature, dealing with things as equal balance and minimalistic. And I really had to kicked myself in the butt because I wasn't as minimal as I thought.
Okay. With that said, what have we? What else have we learned from episode 362?
That you're going to end up with idiots in your survivor situation that you really don't want, but you're going to have to deal with.
I got five
dog
calls.
Like Sweet Beef.
What have we learned from episode 362? I'm serious. What have we learned from this? You know, today they
dog tastes like Sweet Beef.
You know, they had that story that broke this morning of the people in the nursing home.
Mm-hmm. Eight dead.
Where were the caregivers? Did they abandon them?
Yep.
And leave them there? Because if they did, they're looking at a criminal negligence problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And, you know, I watched the thing on the news. I watched the thing on the news right before the hurricane. They said it's much easier to leave the elderly in the nursing home because anybody that has, like, Alzheimer's, when you disturb them and move them from their environment, they go to the hospital and a bunch of them die.
Yep.
They give a statistic on all these older people before the hurricane hit. And then you hear this on the news and you go, gee, did they just say that to cover up the dead? I mean,
it's pretty clear there's some criminal negligence that occurred, but they also were evacuated. I clearly remember hearing nursing home being evacuated during Irma, right? There weren't supposed to be anyone left behind. I'm not sure if we're talking about the same nursing home that they reported on initially about the
evacuation. I don't either, but there were two or three nursing homes they said that could withstand a hurricane. They had backup food, backup water. They had everything to keep the patients going until they could get back up online. And to me, it didn't sound right when they give the story. You know,
it probably wasn't right, given this. Look. And that's something we ought to think about. If you have family that is stuck in a nursing home, like your parents, for example, you need to go get them. You know, this happened during Katrina in Louisiana, and a lot of the patients in the nursing homes down there were abandoned by their caretakers.
Yeah, and I can tell you with that particular storm, the number that they give, I can't remember what the total death toll was that they said. That was a drop in the bucket compared to what it really was.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And
like
they,
we got to be clear about the situation, because there was reports about one nursing home that had water up to the waist, and they were evacuating. The problem with having air conditioning running during a hurricane is that if there's a flood, we're talking about electrocution type conditions here. So call it what we will, criminal negligence, ineptitude. But definitely, it could have very easily went in another direction. And if the air conditioning were working, more people would have been dying because of the flooding and power going through live power lines. So, you know, that's
a damned if you do and damned if you don't scenario.
Pretty much.
It's not, you know, what's here? How about this? People are going to loot. Not food and water, apparently. Apparently, they're going to loot for what? Gym shoes, Air Jordans, TVs,
Mikas. Look, during Katrina, they showed this one guy that broke a plate glass window to steal a flat screen TV that was halfway up the middle of the screen in water. He's pushing it down the middle of the road in water.
I
proud how he stole him a new TV. And I'm thinking to myself, how bright is this guy to push a TV through water when it's not going to work?
The problem is, there are going to be people that are going to be out there looting. And granted, I think they're the dregs of society. They're not looting for survival purposes. They're looting for material purposes.
I didn't see one looter in all of the alternative Twitter viral videos and everything else. I did not see one looter that was looting food or diapers or toilet paper or...
I agree. You know, and if they were looting for those items, food, water, toilet paper, whatever they needed, that's understandable. What's not is
yeah, because most of that's going to go bad just sitting there, so they might as well. And I'm not one that likes to lift anything up to start with, but
no, I hear you.
It's like meat. If you go into the store and it's cold, and the power's out, you know it's going to go away. So, you know, if you don't have food to eat, I would have no hesitations on doing that to feed my family.
No, I get that.
I would turn a blind eye to it when it comes to food. You know, if I saw some woman with a shopping cart and she's, you know, got baby food in it and she's, you know, all this other, I'd probably help her. Seriously, I would.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
But I will also tell you, if I went around the corner and found that same individual, because we are on a radio show, so I'm not using my profanity. If I saw that same individual with a sign up saying baby food $20, I'd beat the ever living sin out of her.
Do it. Use profanity. Please. Do it.
I'm not joking.
You're disappointing us with your mild manner here tonight, John. Don?
I have to watch my language because we have relatives in the house who happen to be very Christian, and I'm behaving for them.
I thought I told you to get
then
rid of that.
Then later.
Just put some bleeps in there. Bleep, 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 bleep.
Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and go. I just wanted to let you know that, you know, put my 2 cents in on what happened. I did call after John went off the air, and, you know, I went into the Zilla channel after John went off the air. There were 6 individuals who were booted by the time I was done. I was one of them.
One thing. Dawn, before you go.
Yes.
You're going to start doing conspiracy theories on your radio show on Friday nights. Is that correct?
I am going to be doing a conspiracy theory. I decided every night I'm going to do a conspiracy theory for about 20 minutes, then I'm going to go ahead and continue with the current events like I have in the politics.
Very well.
Okay.
All right, then. Thanks for calling in.
All right, talk to you later. Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Jason, I haven't heard from you. What do you think? I have not heard from you lately.
I'm more interested in the island type stuff than Florida. You know, I've been watching the articles all week long, and they're really the terrible stories are about all the Caribbean islands.
Oh, it's horrendous.
They have no drinking water, which just blows my mind. They're in the middle of an island. They know it's coming, and they don't have something to drink.
I
saw that too.
St. Martin.
That's why I've been posting stuff about distilleries. I'm like, come on, you guys can build a distillery or something, you know, for $20.
They've got
good ones, $100.
St. Martin's. I believe they have armed gangs roving.
Yep.
It's on the verge of. Some of the islands are virtually uninhabitable. Like you said, there's no water, there's no power. On some of the islands, over 90 to 95% of the structures are gone.
Yep.
They've got the islands uninhabitable. I did understand that some of the cruise ship lines are sending their cruise ships to these islands because they have the facilities on board to make their water and all the other stuff, provide electricity as best they can. And I think that's the right thing to do. Oh, yeah, there you go, Tim. Episode 362. How many times did we hear, and I quote, yo, anybody know when the hurricane gonna be here? Oh, yeah, I got
you mean their free Obama phones didn't work for them?
No. They're too lazy to turn on the TV and check. This is the night before it hit. So they were too lazy to turn on
the sad part. They had a free ride out of town, and half of them turned it down.
Exactly. One thing I want to make clear. Do not let somebody say, I couldn't leave town because I had my pets. The federal law is very clear on this. If there is a hotel or a shelter that receives FEMA funding, then they have to accept your pets with you. And, you know, and don't let the hotels tell you, oh, I'm sorry, we don't allow pets. If they're getting FEMA funding, then they have to accept it.
Well, I can speak for Harvey when Harvey hit there in Texas.
Mm-hmm,
and, of course, Terry came down, and we talked about this a little bit, but they opened a shelter up at LSU, which is outside Alexandria, and they was bringing refugees from Texas in there. And they did a story on the news how they accepted the people with They didn't even have clothes. They had wet clothes on yet because they didn't have anything else, and they was wanting donations for certain clothes, socks, underwear, so forth. And dog food, because these people had dogs and cats, and they had another part of the shelter opened up strictly for their animals.
Well, there you go.
So you're right on that. They had places to put these critters, so they couldn't say there was no place to put them.
You know, Shane is in our chat room on the video feed. And I want you all to listen to this and think about it, especially prepper group leaders, people are thinking about starting their own prepper group. And he says, people can't even prepare for themselves, so why would you trust them to prep and take care of you?
Well, you can't.
Exactly. You can't.
You can't. You know, in my neighborhood area, I've got one guy that lives down the road from me a couple miles. And, you know, if crap came bad, I could get his help. But really, my nearest friend that I could say that would help me in the ways I would need just 50 miles away. And he's, you know, I've known him for 25 years. And, the rest of everybody else, they're sitting there with thumbs in their butt going, which way do I go?
I don't know what to do. You know what? And these are the people, you know, a lot of people criticize FEMA. I take a different view of FEMA because FEMA has to try and prep for 315 million people. There's a very, 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 very low percentage of those people that are actual preppers. Meanwhile, you got people that FEMA has to take care of. That's their job. It's an impossible task. I just look at it and I'm thinking, really? I'm listening to the transmissions. I'm listening to the exasperation of the moderators. You know, I don't know how many times they had to say, clear the channel, because they were trying to get some information out. Now, the day after, I don't even know how many times I heard tornado on the ground, and people are saying, we're out of power here. Well, really? Really? You're out of power? You're the only one.
Well, I'll tell you something I had a thought of, John.
Go ahead.
All those preppers that are helping their neighbors, you're not going to hear about that.
You will never hear about
it. Will not make the news because they don't need help. They're not out there exposed. They're hiding in their, you know, their shelter, or they're all put together and trying not to draw attention, right?
Not only that, but the media wouldn't report on it anyways because they believe in big government. Everybody needs a government. They will
they're saying there's places in Florida right now that's going to be at least a month before they get a service back to that area.
Right.
You know, and I was talking with Julie. And she said that they had a washout in their driveway, and apparently they got it fixed because they are able to get to a town now. But it was 5 foot deep and 20 feet wide that washed out of their driveway.
Whoa.
And to my knowledge, they came out pretty unscathed other than, you know, they lost power and so forth. But as far as there was I think she said there was another quarter inch having water in their one house, but no water in the houses. So they really came out very well on it, and considering that. I got a feeling she was pretty prepped for a lot of stuff, so I think she's going to be all right. So,
Julie
and they were, they made the storm, and my friend did pretty good. So,
Julie had relief supplies. She was going to take to Houston the week before. Now, if you listen to the episode 361, myself I think Kim was on that episode, and we said, hold off. You're going to need those supplies. Don't go to Houston. Stand by us. And I'm glad she listened. I'm glad she didn't do it. She did help one of our listeners, an elderly gentleman with his wife. I won't say his name, but she got him. Not only did she get a hold of him, got him calmed down, but she got him and his wife to a special needs shelter. He had water. He called me. He said, I got water. I got 36 gallons. I'm thinking, okay, if it's a gallon per day per person, you and your wife, he got about 16 days worth of water. Okay. His big thing was he couldn't get out of the house soon enough to go get some canned food goods. you know, Julie was there. She lived somewhat, she doesn't live close by, but he lived in Florida as well. She got him taken care of. You know, kudos to Julie. Now, I did get hold of him afterwards. It's fine. Again, the house doesn't have electricity, but the house is still good to go. I said, when things get back to normal, you know, Julie and I will get a hold of you, and we're going to have you prep intelligently. We're going to help you get prepped again, so that way you don't have to. Because at one point he says, I'm kind of scared. You know what? I said, don't be scared. We're going to get you out of this. We'll help you out. So, but Julie did a fantastic job. I'm glad she visited us. Did not go to Houston with the relief supplies, because I got a feeling she's going to go through them a lot. And most of those supplies were charity to give away. So, you know, God love Julie. There you go. Glad to say not only she's a host here, but she's a listener, and I'm glad that we got to know her.
Well, and she's so intelligent, she'll lead people and coordinate, bring calmness, help
right.
people, you know, figure out what to do with their environment.
Oh, yeah, I definitely see that one come. That's a given there.
What else did we learn from listening to those transmissions?
So am I to understand that when that whole thing was going on, you were monitoring your ham radio there, John?
No, we were monitoring Zello.com. Zello.com had a channel that was set up. It was called South Florida Hurricane Irma 2017. It was set up as a – think of Zello like this. Zello is like a –
No, I know.
– computer.
Yeah, but it still relies on cell phone services to work. It's not like point-to-point.
You can work – well, no kidding. I said it was for your computer. Do not. I would use it for my cell phone, because if Terry used it, he said it ate up his data plan like nobody deserved. But you could use it on your computer. You know.
Yeah. It uses up your battery a lot too.
Okay.
That's the biggest problem. One of the biggest problems that I had. Was constantly trying to keep my cell phone charged, because I was constantly having to use my cell phone, not just for Zello, but for talking to certain people, like regular phone calls, which right. I had a lot of phone calls, a lot of texts, but also I needed the maps for navigation.
Are you there, Terry?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I didn't know if you ever did.
So, hey, John.
Yeah, honestly, I downloaded to my cell phone, and like I say, I've only got a couple people on there. So when I just left them, I just shot a message, and they responded back, and we chatted back and forth for a little bit, and then it was done. So I haven't really noticed it eating my data up. You know.
I did hear some comments that ham radio is the only place working in parts of the state.
That's probably true.
They didn't have any details about it, but there were definitely pockets that were ham radio communications only, doing the relays and stuff.
During most natural disasters, you can count on ham radio being around. Somebody is monitoring. Somebody's got a radio shack rolling. You can almost count on it. What's that, crickets? Is that crickets I hear? What is it?
Oh, it probably is. I'm sitting outside, so.
All right.
No, I noticed that there's a lot of people, you know, and we've seen some of these stories before. We were posting these on Contra Radio on Facebook
right.
and stuff, and I was posting on the Country Prepper. The fact that I didn't see in Louisiana or Texas – I did not see the Red Cross.
Okay, here you go. Now, I want you all to listen carefully. The man was there. Terry, tell him what you saw.
I'm telling you that the entire time that I was in Louisiana and Houston, Texas, and believe me, I didn't just go to one location. And I didn't just stay there and not see anything. I was in several different shelters in Louisiana. I was in several different shelters in Texas. And I went all over the place. I was roaming for passing out food and supplies. I was out roaming around trying to doing medical runs for things like insulin, because people didn't have coolers and stuff like that or refrigeration. They needed medical resupply for things like insulin. Mm-hmm. And so the entire time I'm running around, I noticed that I never saw the Red Cross. The only time, the one time I saw the Red Cross was one truck with two men on one day. And they were passing out food. Other than that, I never saw the Red Cross for anything, even just driving around. I didn't see him.
From what I've seen on the pictures, it looked like it was most of the community, the ones that actually wanted to help, are the ones doing the work, like you and a few other people that I knew on Facebook.
Right. Now, the one thing I did see, and I was asking each shelter, who's operating this shelter? I was always curious about who's operating the shelters. It was always a faith-based organization, like a Christian church, and it was teamed up with the local city municipality. In other words, they were kind of like the church was doing it with the blessings of the city council. And because, you know, things are kind of coordinated like that. You know, they were trying their best to coordinate a lot of different things. And so that way you're not doubling down on the same things and resources. If it does come in from the government or the army or anything, they know where to put it and things like that.
All right.
So what do you know about the Red Cross? They're obviously a 401c or whatever organization. They're not for profit. Do they get any funding? What resources do they actually have, and how is it being allocated? Is anything like that publicly available?
I didn't see anything.
Yes.
Now, I did see some Facebook, some stories that's from One American News Network, which is a station I've been watching more and more, is that they've been staying in some very high-priced five-star hotels in Houston. And
yeah,
then there was some reports that they're out there and some of them, they're helping the more I'll say affluent population.
Yes.
The people who live in nicer houses and have bigger incomes.
And why is that,
you know? Well, because money talks. They know that sooner or later these people are, you know, hurricane's gonna be over, society's gonna get back to normal, and they wanna support the people who's got political pull.
We need a donation. One thing, Brian
mm-hmm.
K is also in the chat. I mean, you know, he says, and one of his comments is, and this is true. I think we can all agree on this. He says, also as a prepper, why in God's name would you have to wait till the government tells you you should have to leave? Are people not capable of realizing without the government telling them that they may be in danger? And for, there's a certain segment of society, and the answer is yes. They won't do anything to think for themselves. God forbid they should take responsibility for anything they think, say, or do. Now,
it's
Timothy.
It's
P.
It's the truth because. Okay.
Yeah. Hold on. Timothy P., who's down in Houston at his father-in-law's funeral, talk about really good timing. He says, I never saw the Red Cross either. Salvation Army was a cluster, but local churches were humming like a well-oiled machine. There you go, people. Two people who are down there.
Well, and that's what I'm telling you. That's more your local people getting together and doing what they got to do, you know.
Well, yeah.
And a community church is that. It's the townspeople, you know.
Right.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to work, right? You start with the
yes,
individual, move to the family, and then you move to community and community churches. then you move out to, you know, the government later. All authority and all leadership should be that way.
You would think so.
Head of the household, head of the church.
You know, the churches.
Government should be below all of that.
I think Terry will agree with Tim that the local churches were rocking and rolling. They had it together. They knew what they wanted to do, and they got it done.
Yeah, there's a reason they're called non-denominational community churches, right, in good towns. They don't exclude themselves. They don't exclude people. They don't say, hey, you're not rich or poor or black or white. We're a community. Come on in.
I have not heard anything like that. And I don't think at that point people care about denominations or worry about food and water and who can get it and help them out.
So what's, you know, and I always think about when you're supposed to prepare for stuff like this. Now, that's down south. That's the Baptist Bible Belt, right? But now the LDS, the Mormon Church, is supposed to have all this stuff put together.
Who is?
Are they down there in Texas at all or Florida?
Who?
No, I never
the
saw
Mormon.
Them.
The Mormons?
They
yeah.
might be down there. They might be there, but I didn't see them.
Let me tell you something.
They
Mitch
have these
Ryan,
giant warehouses every so many miles full of stuff.
Mitch Ryan is a listener of this show. He is a Mormon. And
yes,
the Mormons prep. They may not be in the big cities, but they're there. Now, I haven't heard anything from Mitch, you know, in a while, but I assume he does listen to the downloads, the podcast later. And I'm sure he'll comment on this. He doesn't call in first. But that's
yeah.
you know, an excellent question. But the Mormons are there. As a matter of fact, they're there.
Yeah, no, I don't know how their community outreach works. I've never seen that in action, right? I do know they have encouraged every family and individual to have their 1 year's worth of food, I think it is.
Right.
Along with the grinder and some other stuff. We have neighbors up the road, and he's a ham radio. Every single person in his family has their license. There's
good.
9 licenses in his household.
Wow.
He's got solar panels. He's got antennas. He lives right next to the big well thing. So, you know, I know that they definitely take it seriously. So it's good to see that in the neighborhood, right? People you can maybe, you know, think about teaming up with. But I just don't hear them in the news, you know, and I don't know why.
Then you won't. Because they don't, it doesn't fit the MSM narrative of big government. People have to rely on big government. Government must be the end all be all. That's just.
But where's
not,
all these FEMA camps? Shouldn't these people all be in a FEMA camp somewhere happy?
Well,
I don't know. Put them on a train with boxcars, load them up like cattle, take them to a FEMA camp, keep them happy for 6 months.
You know what? There are some people that would love that.
You'd be surprised at people that would love that.
There are people that would sign up for 6 months at a time at Camp FEMA because that's what they're used to. That's what they know.
They get free TV and a place to sleep, right?
And then you'll get free food. You will get this amount of food.
Three squares a day. You get an hour in the yard for exercise.
Yeah, that's my
get
point.
A jump suit,
and if you give them video games, they'd never want to leave.
There are some people there, some people in a segment of our society, who would love Camp FEMA. They don't have to make a decision about anything. The government will just tell you where you're going to sleep, where you're going to live, what you're going to eat, when you're going to eat, how much you're going to eat, how much you're going to drink, what you're going to drink.
And how many times a day you're going to use the bathroom.
Or how much toilet paper
you're
allowed to use. You know, I mean, there's a certain segment of society that would love Camp FEMA. They would sign up for that voluntarily.
Well, let's face it, there's a whole society that does not think at all for themselves.
There is. And we heard this on those Zello transmissions. Think about what you heard. Think about how many times you heard the same question being asked over and over again. One thing is for certain is that when people are doing something like Zello or listening to a radio, if they're sitting there just waiting to talk, waiting to say something, they're not listening. They're not hearing. Because if they did, they would have heard the same answer to their question 20 times prior to them keying up and asking. So yeah,
a lot of them are just trolls though, John. They're stupid.
You know what? Some of them were, and that is what you're going to have to deal with when you have a grid down situation, a potential catastrophe coming, and you're listening in on the radio.
Well,
and I'm not talking about Zella.
That's why I moved 15 miles out of town.
Right.
Yeah, but those people made me want to go there myself and go shoot that damn dog. I was tired of hearing about that fucking dog.
You know what? There is always something. And this is what the kind of people we're going to have to deal with when and if the grid goes down or there's a regional problem. You've got an idea what to expect, and that's why I did that particular show. I thought this is a great tool for us to learn from, something for us to get out.
God, it's hard to listen to, though.
Oh.
You just scream and make it stop the whole time.
That's why it was only an hour.
I'll be honest, even from Texas, you know, I knew we were going to get brushed by that Harvey, but I knew we weren't going to have, like, devastating damages by no means.
Mm-hmm.
But we did. We had extra gas put up. We had extra supplies, period, put up. Just for the fact that they raised gas prices up, we would have enough gas to get by for X amount of period of time. And we did that just for the fact, you know, we run our business from a house anyway, so you have to have so much gas to do your work, whatever. We never slowed down. I mean, yeah, we got slow for a few days, and even while Terry was here, we were slow, and when he left, we picked back up again. But, everything fell into place like it was supposed to. We never stopped doing our everyday living, by no means.
Right.
Nothing ever stopped. We just kept right on rolling, you know. And that's what you have to do. I mean, you just can't lollygag around and wait for it to come to you. You got to go out there and get it done, you know.
So, how are you storing gas at your place?
Do what?
That's always been a problem. Storing gas is one of those things. People didn't have tanks. They didn't have more than like a 5-gallon can maximum. And I'm not sure how I'd store more than 20 gallons.
Well,
gasoline is good for what, 6 months?
Well, actually, some of it ain't much good after 30 days if you're not storing it right. But, with different products like Seafoam, stuff like that, you can get gas to last quite a while. But the thing about it is I have a need for it regardless, so it's not going to set that long, you know.
You've got tanks or special above-ground tank or something?
No, I just got gas cans, but I have good additives I add to it, you know. If I really wanted to put it in a can of store, I probably can get at least a year's use out of it if I really worked at it. But
sure.
You know, but I use Stable,
and I've got enough Stable to do 300 gallons, I think it is, right? Just buy it on sale.
Yeah. Stable does all right, but Seafoam, if you mix Seafoam with Stable, it lasts a lot longer.
Okay, mix the two together. Okay. Well, I'm just looking at the 30-day rotation.
One is a stabilizer, where the other one is a treatment. So
right.
It's two different things, but I just use Seafoam. I'm going to be honest, I'll use Seafoam. I've known gas lasting in general for 4 years with Seafoam in it. So,
yep.
I know you pull a rope and the fire up, smells good, you know, and it runs fine on third and second pole. So, not mine, just a friend of mine's got one.
So take a poll, John. See who's got Stable or Seafoam or some other additive in their possession right now online.
Heard the man.
Shout out, yes or no.
That's a simple thing, you know, because if you can store a little bit of gas, it goes a long ways. I've got a tractor, clearly I use my tractor. If you don't have it, you know, if you got shut down where there's no gas and you have an extra 20 gallons, you can, you know, if you're careful with that, you can go quite a while, you know.
Well, okay. I think about number of miles, right? How many miles can you go with what the gas you have on hand if you got a bug out?
I don't know if I'd have to ever evacuate for where I'm centrally located, but just for the stuff I do around my place, 20 gallons, that could last me a long time.
Yeah, because tractors don't use that much.
No, I got an old tractor, I got an old truck, but I got an old car, you know. But either way, a car gets good mileage, you know, 5 gallons of gas, and it'll, you know, last a long time if you're careful with it. You know, same with my old truck. It's not the best, but for no more than I drive it locally, you know, if I haul a load with it or whatever, it's not going to be staying in one spot, you know.
Well, I had a lot of friends that were stuck down in Texas. They were up north of Houston somewhere, and they were waiting 2 hours for gas, going two or three or four different locations to get gas. One of them ran out of gas.
And I'll be honest, when I seen the storm coming up to Texas, way before it landfall, I already had me 20 gallons for the garage, you know.
Okay.
But that's just me. I always try to do things at least a week in advance just to kind of – and once you're used to doing it that way, it always comes to second nature. You don't even think about it, you know. But you got to have certain supplies, especially like me. I've got a lot of kids, so I got to make sure there's stuff put on the table. I got to make sure everybody's got their needs before it hits, you know. And then
right.
I want parents to look after, you know, so forth, that kind of thing, you know.
Yep.
And now I'm not in a situation where my roof got blown off. I got 3 foot of water in my house because that's a whole other scenario. But where we're centrally located, that probably won't happen. I mean, I'm not saying it could because anything can happen, but it's very doubtful I'll ever flood here.
Yeah, forest fires are what we worry about out here.
And they're rolling out there.
Yeah,
we're on the other side of town from the gorge, but
I would actually
we're on the edge of the Tillamook Forest where they had the big burns here, you know, last century.
Yeah, I would be a little concerned about a forest fire where I'm at, as far as worst case scenarios go. Just the fact we're so far out in the woods, and and now most of my around my house is pretty much clear cut, but I still got a lot of brush, underlying brush, you know. Around my place. And of course, Terry, he'll tell you, I'm not the best landscaper as far as mowing goes. So,
But if you had a forest fire, you'd be a shitload of trouble if you're surrounded by fire.
Oh yes, I would be. You know, and you know, if you keep a bush hog, you still got dead grass. That's fuel for a fire anyway. So,
even if the I'm talking about if the trees that are near your home fall down, they could potentially hit your garage, go to the house.
Yeah.
That could be catastrophic, but.
Yeah, but I'm fortunate. So I got a highway between me and, you know, there is a highway on the other side of my tree line. So if I would actually have to jump over highway, which I'm not saying I can't do because I can do, but I'd be more concerned of that per se than. Like a hurricane taking my place out, you know.
All right.
Well, I noticed that I saw a lot of people say the same things. It came so quick. We weren't ready, or we didn't know that it was going to hit us like this. And I'm like, you saw a hurricane coming.
Yeah, like
this
isn't.
I mean, a hurricane is not like a tornado. Now, I tried to just simply listen, and I'm like, you know, but I did say a few things like, you had a couple days, yeah, but we didn't know if it was going to hit us, and I'm like,
that's right. Cause
why do you take the chance?
I tell people, you know, how hard is it to spend $100 on a few extra supplies if you're not sure, because a hurricane isn't like, and you know, you have a week's notice that's coming. You know, if you fill up your vehicles with gas and you buy a few extra bags of groceries, I mean, you didn't waste anything. You'll still use it. But if it hits, you're covered for so many days until it clears up, at least in this part, you know, because it's generally going to hit you. If you have a power outage, you could, Katrina, I think we was out of power for 2 weeks. And that was back when I had a power pole. And and that was – it hit at a time when we was having a really bad heat wave. And I ain't going to lie, that was a slight bit of a pain in the butt. But, you know, we survived it without a problem. I mean, other than it being so hot, I mean, we cooked. We did this. We did that. I mean, we didn't have an issue that way. But it was really hot that particular time. But, you know, my shop was the only one that was open because everybody was knocked out without power. And I was too, but my rack run off 12 volts and I had a gas air compressor, so I was still able to keep my shop up and going. And I worked all the way through the whole entire hurricane. and I was the only one open. So.
All right. All right. Let's call it a night, gentlemen. I appreciate you all for calling. For those that are listening in and commenting on the show, I appreciate it. I wanted to get this out here. Don't forget, Dawn's going to add a new segment to her show Friday nights, talk about conspiracy theories. And I don't know when we'll hear from Julie again. I'm guessing once they get things back to normal. As of right now, they don't have any electricity in our place. So that's not a problem. If I got to fill in on Saturday nights for a while, I can do that. Not a big deal. We can do this.
Hey, John.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's one more piece of news I wanted to say. Was that, like we said, I got a little sickness, you know, like the beginning stages of pneumonia, right? And it could be from bacteria, or it could also be from allergies or dust. So it's like I'm doing my best to recover before I accept antibiotics.
You're a
plague. I told the doc. I said, Doc, let me try to get rid of this without antibiotics if I can.
Just go get. Stop being a plague rat and go get the antibiotics. Infecting everybody.
Well, nothing else. Get you some. I would say get you some local honey, but you didn't get any local honey while you was here for it. But a good hot pot some local honey would work good.
Anyway, there's
some NyQuil and sleep it off.
Yeah,
you already have antibiotics in your house.
I do have antibiotics.
Anyways,
the point I'm going to make is that you can get sick from a lot of these situations. There's a lot of sickness that roam around, and I don't see that in the news a lot. But there was one guy in Houston that got a flesh-eating virus in his skin. He almost lost his life. He almost lost his hand because he got that flesh-eating virus in him, and because he was in the floodwaters helping out his neighbors.
So what
anytime you have like bites that have got little stabs on them, and you're in that floodwater where you got raw sewage and everything else in it,
No, he was not in sewage water. He was not in anything that was you would think that was toxic. They said that during the story. But it was just regular flood water. That's what
they
said.
Okay, that's good.
Typhoid
Terry.
Well,
you would be surprised of what
typhoid
Terry. Water from them city.
That's you.
Well, you gotta.
Who said that?
You actually gotta worry. Believe it or not, you gotta worry about mold. There's all kinds of bacteria you gotta worry about because when everything's been water soaked. And it grows a fungus, right. And
yeah.
The chemicals that you're using are pretty foul.
It's official. You're now under quarantine.
He's Typhoid Terry. Running around.
Yeah, who said that, Typhoid Terry? Who said that?
Timmy.
It was not me.
It was Tim in North Carolina, and I'm laughing at it. Typhoid Terry.
That's a good one.
That's not bad. That's pretty good. You had me giggling over here.
I've already had pneumonia once, and that was brought on from hay fever.
What are you waiting for? Go get the antibiotics. Get the dumbass. Go get the antibiotics and get yourself taken care of. What the hell's wrong with you? That's why they're there. That's why you're Typhoid Terry.
I'm gonna go ahead and take my leave. So my final words at this point will be: prep today, survive tomorrow.
Yep.
Basic rules to live by.
You're right,
Thank you, buddy.
Good night, Chuck. All right. All right. Typhoid Terry. You got anything else you want to say before we call it an evening?
Yeah, I'd like to say. Hey, good night.
You are a sick
I think I'm going to get hand sanitizer to hang up my phone.
It's that bad, I know. It's just oozing out of my computer, believe me. Good night, guys. Thanks.
Look, have a good one, guys.
All right. Good night. All right. This should wrap it up for another episode here of Contra Radio Network. Just episode 363, what we have learned from episode 362 when we were listening to it. If you would like to listen to it, you can. I don't know how much longer it'll be available. As far as I know, it's not a problem. So episode 362, give it a listen and come up with your own ideas, observations, maybe something we didn't think of or hit on. Give us a call in the next show. Next show here on CRN will be Dawn's show, the Contra Dawn show. Well, she'll be starting a new segment called Conspiracy Theories. And she will enroll that into her regular show. All right. And again, I don't know when we'll hear from Julie again. That's fine. She's got far other more important things to worry about than doing this show. She'll be back when she's back. And if necessary, I will jump in on Saturday nights if we feel it's necessary to do it. And that's about it. Okay. I want to say thanks to Tim, Brian, the Porky Wheel Man himself, Lopaired Galoot, Brian K. I don't want to miss anybody here. Shane H. Don't want to forget him. So anyway, and who else did I have on here? I think I got everybody. And Dawn for calling in. Thanks, guys. Thanks for being a part of the show. And Jason V. Thanks again, buddy. I appreciate you checking in also. But again, just want to make sure that, you know, Terry will from Northern Ireland. Terry will spread the disease that ends humanity. Go get the meds, Terry. You goof. All right. Anyways, the sickness is still going to come. Jason's absolutely right. And people are going to be drinking the water. They're going to be wandering in that toilet over there. So, yeah, Jason's right. That's exactly what's going to happen. They'll become infected. Da, 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 and we know what happens. So for my prepper and patriot friends, I say this to you. Be alert. Be vigilant and be safe. I'm John Jeffers here at the Contra Radio Network saying thanks for listening in tonight. I really appreciate your time and your participation. And tell your friends. If you like what you're hearing here, tell your friends. We're here. Tell people. Get the word out. Just remember, the more people that we could get started prepping, that's less people knocking on your door during a crisis looking for food, water, and everything else. They may not know, but it doesn't mean we can't help them. So let's help them. Let's get them started. Let them know what's going on. Have them listening to the show. We can always help. That's all. That's why I'm looking at it. And I want you to look at it the same way. All right. I'm John Jeffers. I want to say good night. And thanks for tuning in, guys. I really appreciate it.
Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy. They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine and More.
Welcome to Total Wine and More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine and More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in store or online at TotalWine.com.